Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the article by Toba et al. Titled, Transgenic Overexpression of Macrophage Matrix Metalloproteinase 9 Exacerbates Age-Related Cardiac Hypertrophy, Vessel Rarefaction, Inflammation, and Fibrosis. This article published March 1, 2017. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, Lead Author and Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, and Content Expert Richard Gumina. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thank Mary and Richard for being with us today. So nobody really wants to get old, but so far, this is the fate of all living things. We can't reverse aging, but we can try to understand the physiological mechanisms associated with organ dysfunction in the aging process. As far as the heart is concerned, the aging process is associated with myocardial hypertrophy and an increase in stiffness. The latter may be mediated in part by changes in the extracellular matrix. Therefore, this study by Toba et al. Is relevant to the hypertrophic and extracellular matrix changes that occur with advanced aging. Mary, can you please tell our listeners about the rationale, why you did the study, the main results, and what conclusions you found?
Sure. We have previously published that the amount of MMP9 doubles in the left ventricle of mice as they age, and the source of this increase is the macrophage. In this VA-funded study led by Dr. Hiro Toba, we evaluated the cardiac aging effect of overexpressing MMP9 only in macrophages. Our key findings were that MMP9 overexpression amplified the myocyte hypertrophic response to aging, along with reducing the angiogenic signaling to create a myocyte vessel mismatch, which in turn increased inflammation and collagen accumulation. Basically, our results indicate that macrophage MMP9 is a prime upstream modulator of cardiac aging.
Thanks, Mary. Rich, this study has many levels to it, from inflammation to macrophage activation and MMP expression. Do you have any comments for Mary or comments about the study?
First, Mary, I would really like to commend you and your team for this insightful study. It highlights a critically important point that Irv hit on at the beginning of his review here. Cardiovascular disease is a disease of the aging, and your current and prior work that you've published really demonstrates that there are true differences in the young and aged hearts. Clearly, more studies like yours that examine the impact of aging are needed. As you know, heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, previously referred to as diastolic dysfunction, is a leading cause of hospital admissions in the elderly. Characteristically, these patients have elevated left ventricular filling pressures, impaired left ventricular relaxations. Can you comment on hemodynamics in your model or work that you've done to explore hemodynamics and the effects of MMP9 on the hemodynamics of cardiac remodeling?
Rich, that's an excellent question. We've published that diastolic dysfunction measured by Doppler echocardiography is attenuated in MMP9 null mice. E to A ratios are reduced in wild-type mice starting around 18 months of age, while systolic dysfunction measured by dobutamine stress echo show that wild-type mice over the age of about 23 months have reduced cardiac reserve, which is prevented in the absence of MMP9. Diastolic cardiac physiology, therefore, is impaired before systolic cardiac physiology.
Mary, I wonder if I can jump in here. One of the most interesting aspects of this study is what you found in vessel rarefaction in the myocardium. And I know you did a large gene array to identify those factors that might be involved in blood vessel growth and rarefaction in the hypertrophied state. Can you comment on what the main mediators might be and what impediments there would be in this model to blood vessel growth?
Sure. The vessel phenotype that we saw is very interesting. In the wild-type mice with age, angiogenic gene expression went up without a concomitant increase in actual vessel numbers. In the absence of MMP9, the angiogenic gene expression also goes up, but one thing that's different from the wild-type is that there is an increase in vessel numbers in that case. In this current study with MMP9 overexpression in the macrophages, there was decreased angiogenic gene expression and decreased vessel numbers, which promoted an inflammaging phenotype. Inflammation is the chronic pro-inflammatory status that occurs with aging in the absence of overt infection. These results highlight that inflammation in the left ventricle was induced by a mismatch between the myocytes and the vessel numbers. In terms of mediators of this effect, there was a panel of angiogenic markers that we measured at the gene level. In this study, VEGF, which is one common angiogenic marker, was not actually evaluated, but we published in 2014 in another AJP Heart article that VEGF protein by immunoblotting increases with age in the left ventricle, and this increase is higher in the absence of MMP9. And so therefore, the age-related increase in VEGF, in addition to other angiogenic markers, while actual vessel numbers don't increase, is very interesting because this indicates that there's a disconnect between the angiogenic potential of the myocardium and its actual realization.
Mm-hmm. Rich, further comments?
Yeah. Do you think that we need to rethink the etiology for heart failure with preserved ejection fraction? I mean, is it really an inflammatory process, or is there a component that's driven by chronic inflammation, such as your work is starting to demonstrate that there was a significant upregulation of inflammatory markers in your model, and whether or not that really drives over time this process of heart failure or diastolic dysfunction is a question that I have, and I appreciate your comments on that.
This is certainly an interesting concept. There's definitely an inflammatory component in the processes that develop into HFpEF, including hypertension. You know, our studies indicate that maybe we should be thinking about adding aging as a component to the HFpEF etiology.
So in my simplistic way of thinking of MMPs, I had initially viewed them as an intermediate or end mediator of inflammation, but the work that you presented here clearly demonstrates that MMP is not really a consequence of inflammation, but rather can drive not only inflammation, but as Irv alluded to earlier, both the hypertrophy of the cardiac myocytes and fibrosis. Can you comment on your thoughts regarding pleiotropic effects of MMPs and specifically MMP9 and how these findings might change how we view our approach to cardiac aging?
Right. The major effects of MMP9 in the aging heart are modulating upstream signaling for angiogenesis and inflammation, in addition to the well-accepted roles of ECM that you just mentioned. And so, yes, I think that MMP9 appears to be a major upstream component to the cardiac aging phenotype at multiple levels of influence.
So, Mary, one interesting aspect of this study is that the MMP9 overexpression in macrophages becomes a global entity. That is, the macrophages may be every place, and one would expect that the extracellular matrix would be affected in other tissues as well. Do you have any insight in whether there's increased fibrosis in this model in the kidney or any other tissues?
So we only evaluated the effects in the myocardium. Having said that, we have historically collected tissues from other organs and banked them. We just haven't evaluated them. And so if there's any listener out there who's interested in kidney or liver or lung, et cetera, along the aging phenotype, looking at wild type or MMP9 null mice, certainly contact me.
Yeah, I think this is very interesting because fibrosis dysfunction in other tissues, it goes along with deterioration of organ function with the aging process, and could be a very useful model. Rich, any final comments?
One other question that I had, Mary, you had clearly showed that collagen deposition is increased in the aged mice with the macrophage-specific MMP9 overexpression. However, there was a discrepancy in the gene array analysis as the collagen transcripts were lower in the transgenic mice. Can you share your thoughts on this discrepancy? Because I think for listeners, it's important to understand how you work through these processes of where there's discrepant data from transcript to protein. I'd be interested in your thoughts on how you approach that.
Yes. This question is definitely something that we thought a lot about from the time we got those results to the time we were writing the manuscript to the time we were addressing reviewer comments. And so, yes, I appreciate your comment very much. Sometimes the data don't all line up in that perfect linear pathway. And so in this case, the increase in cardiac inflammation resulted in a greater accumulation of interstitial collagen, which is actually counterintuitive because pro-inflammation and pro-extracellular matrix formation are thought to be polar opposite processes, particularly in the setting of say, myocardial infarction. And so the cardiac extracellular matrix field is now beginning to appreciate that MMP9 actually has a lot of pro-fibrogenic roles. And so the increase in collagen protein may be a feedback signal, since collagen 1 and 3 mRNAs were reduced and MMP8 mRNA was evaluated in the transgenic mice. And so both effects would serve to stimulate collagen turnover. And along these same lines, the secreted protein acidic enriched cysteine SPARC is a protein that promotes collagen processing into the extracellular matrix. And SPARC is also increased with aging and is increased more in the transgenic mice. And so therefore, in the setting of accelerated cross-linking, at the same time that you have increased post-translational cleavage of ECM, this would indicate increased signaling at multiple intersections, which would decrease the overall efficiency of the system. And so that's how we explained it to ourselves and to the reviewers and to the readers. And so that's our interpretation.
Well, thank you, Mary and Rich. This has been a very interesting discussion, a very novel model that I think will be useful to many investigators. The whole issue of HFpEF is still kind of murky out there. We don't really know what it means, how to classify it, and certainly how to treat it in humans. Studies like this will shed new light on basic mechanisms. I want to thank you both for participating today, and Kara, we'll turn it back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.